We're on our way. This fellowship is on a long road, one that started 58 years ago, and with your continued support, will stretch far into the future. A vision of liberal religion in the Rogue Valley made real in Arthur's living room, in the Red Cross meeting room in Medford, in theaters and community centers in Talent and Ashland. And of course, after settling in this building in 1990, the journey continued. It has been a road with smooth curves and sharp turns. What seemed like a clear path forward might suddenly lurch sideways with an unexpected turn. And of course, this is the nature of life. Try as we might to see the way ahead, to plot our course, things rarely go according to our plan. Sometimes we are pleased at a new direction that is more than we dreamed for ourselves. For me, some of those moments have been meeting the wisest, kindest life partner I could ever imagine at a conference in California, adopting a baby with the purest beams of love pouring from him I have ever seen, and being called to this vibrant, healthy congregation filled with the committed, capable members and staff in the midst of this beautiful Rogue Valley in this culturally rich town of Ashland. And of course, sometimes the turns are so sharp and so difficult, we wonder how we will manage to navigate. For our family, the most unexpected and unwelcome turn has been the death of Eric, Adam's 18-year-old son, 3 weeks ago in a car accident. And we are still learning about the twists and turns that will come with our 2-year-old son Aaron's muscle condition, which is some form of muscular dystrophy. Fortunately, we are resilient individually and as a family, and we are getting support in so many forms from so many directions. From you all, the kind cards and letters, delicious meals, and caring attention for Aaron have been so important and so helpful to us, and we thank you. Because we are a faith community bound together by sacred promises and covenants, shared values and experiences, you all are affected by our family's situation. Just as you are affected by Jackie Rosen's concern about her aging parents, which call her and Jim away to California frequently. As you are affected by Don Black's failing health. And by the news that 6-year-old Alex Donnelly has broken his leg again. And you're affected by Rosalie Caffrey's joy at her grandchild's wedding, which I will conduct in Lithia Park this summer. By Denise Moore's fulfillment with her new job as the children's librarian in Ashland. By Emma Parker's pride after a taiko drumming performance. We are all connected. And of course, together we create this thing called the Rogue Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, and it has its own journey that certainly had some unexpected detours on the road to calling your settled minister. And in retrospect, I sense that you have great appreciation for that road traveled with Carolyn Colbert as your interim for the extra 2 years. Even as it meant a more winding journey when you guys were ready for the straightaway. As I arrived, I had a sense that there were some engines revving, ready to zoom off the entrance ramp and onto the freeway. And we have certainly done a lot in my first year here. We're piloting the Council of Ministries to help us better coordinate and collaborate between ministries. We've launched the Pastoral Care Visiting Team with a group of talented and compassionate people who have a deep capacity to listen. The new volunteer management team is providing support to many volunteers, helping people find the role that suits them and providing training about how to get the most out of our work together. We have beautiful new brochures to welcome visitors. We have been honored by Oregon Action for our social justice work. Our RE program serves almost 30 families, and we have consistent attendance of about 20 kids each week. And our worship and music team keeps bringing inspiration and variety to our Sunday services. Whew. It's a lot to celebrate. We are definitely on our way. And maybe we can coast for a little while now. Enjoy the scenery. Take time to hear each other's stories. There are new people to get to know. There might even be people with whom you've worked side by side on some project whose story you don't know. I know that's the case for me. We can get so busy with the task at hand, we forget to take time to share about who we are, where we are on our own life's journey. So I invite us to slow down a bit and check in with each other. We are changed by each other. We're changed when circumstances in someone's life stirs up feelings and memories from our past or awakens hopes or fears about our future. But being together in the midst of all that life brings us is holy work. Being together to dream of world peace, of justice, of equity, a world that we know is possible, is holy work. Being together to hold each other accountable to our highest aspirations is holy work. But it can feel dangerous because it is likely to change you. You are likely to have emotions, feel discomfort, notice where you fall short. There will be a lot asked of you. The Reverend Victoria Safford, when she was serving a congregation in Western Massachusetts, told about a sign on Route 2 near a sharp curve, which says, "Caution, church ahead." But this sign doesn't have any punctuation, so she was wondering, is it announcing the caution church ahead? She says, "A cautious church, afraid to say anything, afraid to do anything, afraid to take a stand, afraid of God, afraid of strangers, cautious and careful." Now, that would not be an accurate sign if it was posted near here. Perhaps more accurate for us would be the idea of caution, colon, church ahead. Victoria suggests the sign might read, "Watch out, Unitarian Universalists ahead." They ask that you take it seriously. They ask a lot of you in there. Now, this sign might make more sense here. She explains her proposed sign, saying, "We ask that you weave here together some kind of sturdy, gorgeous web, because without that among you, the building doesn't stand. There's no sanctuary here that is not made of your flesh and bone and love and will. The building will not stand, the ministry won't stand, the staff fall down, the lights go out. Religious education shuts down and the kids are on their own in the wild world. The thing won't work. So we ask you to fund it. It's up to all of us. This is not a place where we are consumers, where we come with our list of desires or demands, assess whether the services or products match up and make the decision to purchase or not. This is a community, a faith community, where we bring our faith in humankind, our faith in possibility, our faith in each other, our faith in the power of liberal religion, our faith in the importance of engaging with the big questions with other thoughtful, concerned people." Another Unitarian Universalist, Victoria in Massachusetts, the Reverend Victoria Weinstein, tells a story from the Rabbi Zalman Schachter Shlomi, who I was with a few weeks ago, some of you might remember. "So a long time ago, in a synagogue in Safed in northern Israel, there was a rich man who would attend services but often slept through services. He would wake up occasionally to reposition himself, and once he overheard the lesson from Leviticus, where God instructed the children of Israel to place 12 loads of challah on a table in the ancient wilderness tabernacle. When he woke up at the end of the service, he thought, 'Oh my goodness, God just told me to bring 12 loaves of challah. Well, that seems strange, but if God says so,' and so he went home and baked 12 loaves of challah and came and said, 'Now where should I put them?' He decided to put them in the ark where the Torah scrolls are kept. So he opened the ark, placed the bread in, closed the ark. and thought he had done well, and he was so pleased that he knew what God wanted and he'd been able to do it. Right after he left, the poorest person connected to the temple, the janitor, came in and was cleaning up and said, "I'm going to speak to God because I'm desperate. I'm so poor. I don't know how I'm going to feed my family this week. Please, God, is there some way you could help? I think I need a miracle." And as he liked to do, as he was tidying up, he wanted to check the scrolls, the Torah scrolls. So he opened the ark and he found 12 loaves of challah. He said, "God, I had no idea you would work so quickly." He took the challah. He shared some with his family. He sold some and he gave some to people even poorer than he. This kept going for weeks, months, years, until one day the rabbi actually noticed what was happening. And he actually told them, "Do you see? You're baking the bread and you're taking the bread." And the two men were so disappointed. The rich man said, "You mean God is not eating my bread?" And the poor man said, "You mean God is not giving me my bread?" And the rabbi said, "No, but it is still so beautiful because your hands that bake and your hands that receive are the hands of God. Keep baking and keep receiving." So these two men were disappointed when they realized what was actually happening. And Victoria Weinstein imagines their thoughts. "What a ripoff. What a letdown. We thought it was God, and all the time it was just us." And then she responds, "It's always us. There's no just about it. Why should we say it's just us? There is no ripoff in sharing this miracle of being alive to share a life of love and care with other living beings. It's no insult that the bread behind the altar is a human gift rather than a supernatural occurrence. It's no ripoff. Here, on Stewardship Sunday, celebrating our commitment Sunday, we lift back the curtain and show what's really going on, which is, get this, we get to pay to support the work of this community, and then we get to do all the work ourselves. And she goes on to say, "What an honor to be entrusted with something so precious that we should be asked not only to pay for it with money, but with heart, soul, and emotional investment." Now, it may be easier to think of bread as sacred than money. Bread from the weekly Jewish Shabbat service, bread in the communion ritual, the staff of life. But money? Money seems dirty. I remember as a little girl when I would put pennies in my mouth, my paternal grandmother would warn me, "How dirty they are. Just think about the places they've been." So in her imagination, each of the pockets, purses, hands, cash registers, tip jars, or collection baskets that penny had passed through had served to sully it. In my mind, all those people who touch the penny, all the lives of which the penny flows in and out of, made the penny special. It shows the power of the penny to make a difference, like the magic penny in our story. Of course, my grandmother's not the only one who thinks money is dirty. The Reverend Kit Howell has a sermon that consists almost entirely of his dialogue with a dollar bill to address and confront his own ambivalence about money. At one point, they discuss the coins in the collection plate. Kit says, "What does it say clinking about in the plates every week? Does it say, 'The church is a business, pay up your pledge'?" In response, money sighs, "Stop it! Why do you Unitarian Universalists doubt yourselves so much when you are so full of holiness? You Unitarian Universalists are so afraid of holiness. Stop it. You know what the money in the plate says? It says, 'We all walk our own paths in life, but we do not walk alone. We walk together.' It says we believe in each other, and we believe that together we can create a safe place, a sacred place where we can be who we really are and be empowered to become the most we can be. It says we believe that together we can save each other and that together we can save the world. It says all that, and it says more. Kit, it says that you and your gifts are valued. It says that all the staff is valued. It says the programs of this congregation and this denomination are valued. It says that the pains and joys of all these people are worth enfolding and holding in collective health. It says that life isn't stupid or hopeless. It says so much kit. Never doubt the holiness of your congregation or your religion. So, we are here to do this holy work, to experience this sacred honor, remembering that without our love, without our time, without our work, and without our money, this liberal religious body would not exist. And I thank you for keeping your money flowing, bestowing it with holiness by contributing it to this fellowship. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your support. Thank you for living into your values.